Good morning, children.
Good morning.
It's good to be here this morning. I feel like I don't have a whole lot to share. When Paul asked me to share, we were getting ready to leave the next day, so that night I had to go home and pack, and we were gone since Wednesday and got home last night, so I feel a little scattered. But I guess what I want to talk about is something that I think about a lot. I think it's very important. Probably the younger we are, if we can get a hold of this thing, the better off we'll be. The thing I want to talk about is something that everybody has one. We all have one, and everybody uses one. It can be used in a lot of good ways. It can be used in a lot of useful inventions. Like so many of the things that we enjoy today, we have air conditioning, we have vehicles to drive around in. We don't have to go out and hitch up the ox anymore to go to town or to travel across the country. You know, we got in our car, nice and comfortable, and we drove for hundreds of miles, and it didn't take us very long to get there. If we'd have done that with an ox, we'd still be going, and we probably wouldn't be getting there for another couple days, maybe weeks, I don't know. But somebody used this thing I want to talk about, and they're like, we can make something better. And then they said, we can make something even better. So it can be used in a lot of good ways, this thing I want to talk about. But it can also be used in a lot of bad ways. It can be used to create a lot of, destructive things. We see people use it to create ways of hurting people or destroying people's lives. It can also be used, if we're not careful, it can separate close friends. Sometimes you might hear that somebody did something, or maybe you even saw them do something. But we don't know all the facts behind the story. And we use this little thing, and pretty soon it drives a wedge between good friends. Or if your friend says something, I've let this happen to me. Like if somebody says something, and they don't mean it in a bad way at all, but in my mind I take it the wrong way. And so I just, by nature, I think that person just doesn't like me, and I'm just not good enough for them, and I'm just going to stay away from them. And so it kind of drives a wedge. It's something that has been used from the beginning of time and will continue to be used until the Lord returns. What I'm talking about is our imagination. We all have an imagination. Every one of us do. When we're young, the girls, when they're playing with their dolls and they're out making soup with flowers and grass and leaves and in their minds, they're pretending that we're actually, this is a good soup and it tastes really good. And their dolls, they're not just little plastic dolls. They're real, And boys playing with trucks, you use your imagination. That truck is just making the dust roll, and it's powerful, and it's big, right? So we all have an imagination, and we all use it. I know we do. An imagination, I guess for the definition, it's the act or power of forming a mental image. It's the It's the act of creating an image in our head that's not actually out here where we can smell it, see it, touch it. It's all in our head. And so when somebody writes a book, a lot of times they'll use their imagination or telling stories. Do you guys like to hear stories? I like to hear stories. And sometimes the stories are not always maybe a true story, but if somebody can use a story to illustrate something that is true, if that makes sense. What about when you're planting the garden? Like, we go out there, before anything's planted, we have a vision in our mind what we want that thing to look like. So, like for men, when they're building a house or remodeling a house, we have to use our imaginations. We think of things that are not actually there yet, but we get a picture in our mind. So, or building equipment. We went to a woodworking show, and it's crazy the things that people came up with to do the work that our hands used to have to do. Now they have robots that can sand wood for you. You just have to put the door in a certain place, and it'll go pick the door up. It'll sit it over here, and it'll take a camera and look at it, and then it'll sand it for you. That all started with somebody's imagination, and they got creative, and they started making these things. But the Bible warns us about using our imagination in the wrong way. It's so easy to let our minds go where they shouldn't and think about things that they shouldn't. It says in Noah's time, when Noah walked on the earth, the world became so bad, the people became so bad, it says that every imagination of their mind, of their heart, was only evil continually. And I can't quite fathom that. That just seems hard to imagine that everything they thought about was bad. On how to make something, how to, I don't know what it was, like how to hurt somebody, how to steal from somebody, how to do something to make me feel good, or I don't know exactly what that looked like, but God said their imaginations were only evil, and so he said he's going to destroy them, except for Noah and his family. It says that Noah feared God, and he did what God said. He didn't just let his imagination go wild and his, maybe another word, his fleshly desires. He feared God, and he obeyed God. And so God said, I'm going to save him and his family. I'm not going to destroy them with the rest. What about, one thing I thought about was, when Moses sent Joshua and Caleb and 10 other men into the land of Canaan, I don't know the other 10's names, but they were told to go in and spy out the land and see what was there. And when they came back, Joshua and Caleb said that this land is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. The crops are good. They said, let's go in and take it because God said we can. We can do it. But the other 10, they left their imagination go wild a little bit, I think. And it says that they brought up an evil report of the land. They said, yeah, the land's good, but there are giants in the land that we look like grasshoppers in comparison. I think that was a little stretched. I think they were using their imagination a little bit in a wrong way. And it scared the rest of the Israelites. And they're like, we can't go in there. If we were the size of a grasshopper to a person, to a giant, I mean, that person would have to stand taller than the roof of this building. And that's not how tall they were. They were tall. They were big. They were giants, but they weren't that big. Joshua and Caleb didn't let their imagination get the best of them, but they believed the word of God. They brought their thoughts captive And I'm sure they, when they saw those men, they were probably a little bit scared too, like, whoa, these guys are big. But hey, God said we can do it. Let's go do it. And I'm not sure about this, but it seems like maybe when Jesus, he told a lot of parables, a lot of stories. And it seemed like some of them were not something that you could, that was actually physically there. He told the parable of, the rich man and Lazarus. He told that story. That's something that the disciples, they couldn't see this. Maybe Jesus actually saw it. I don't know. But the rich man that had everything he ever wanted, and he had a poor man that sat at his gate or the end of his driveway, whatever you would call it, and he was there every day. He had nothing, and he would beg. And anyway, both of them died, and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, which was a place of comfort, a place of rest, and the rich man was in torment, in hell. But anyway, I think Jesus used his imagination in some of those things, but he always used it to illustrate something that was true, something that was right. The Bible tells us to take every thought captive. We can't help it when thoughts enter our mind, but we can help it. We're told God tells us to take those thoughts captive and to bring them into the obedience of his word, or to the obedience of Christ, and to be transformed into the image of Christ by thinking about things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure and good and of good report, and things that are praiseworthy. So yeah, I guess I don't have a whole lot more than that, other than it's something that I think is very important for us, that we ask God to help us at a young age to exercise good thoughts, that we don't just let our minds run wild. And it can be so easy to do, because we can be thinking something and nobody around us can see it, what's going on in our head. And it can be so bad sometimes. But let's ask God to help us to be pure in our hearts and to be pure in our minds and not let our imaginations go where they shouldn't. But to think about things that are good. Think about ways that we could be a blessing to others, and that God could use us. So, yeah, I don't really have a lot more than that. I feel like I was just really kind of scattered, but let's let God control our minds. So let's have a prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just bow our hearts here before you. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to gather to hear your word, and we thank you for your word, Father. We just ask that you would help us, Lord, to read it, to hide your word in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. Father, help us to have the mind of Christ, to think the way you think, to love what you love, to hate and stay away from what you would hate and stay away from. And Father, we just want to pray for each of these children, that you would keep them in your care, draw their hearts to yourself, Father. Help them at a young age to surrender their lives to you and to be lovers of the truth. And Father, we just commit the rest of this service into your hands. In Jesus' name.